7:38. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and a topic, Ted, that I know that concerns you with having two young daughters.
Certainly, yes. We're always wanting them to, you know, dress modestly and be aware of the image that they're representing when they go out in public, especially. And that comes down to clothing and fashion choices. That can be so tough to navigate in this day and age, though. There's a lot of pressure and peers as well that might not be adhering to the same standards. How do you navigate that as a parent? How do you navigate that just as yourself, as an adult, even, you know, for women or guys as you step out? Are you doing something that's just a fashion statement and being a part of that? Or are you actually becoming a sex object by your choices? And here to help us discern this with a biblical perspective is our guest, Dr. Linda Mintel, today. She has many resources, and her blog is always very helpful, and we have her linked up at myfaithradio.com. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. And do you guys, you're probably not old enough to remember this, but do you remember that old song? It was a 1960s song called Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Yes,
that's
sure.
How you stuff a wild bikini. Yes,
yeah,
I know that.
The first line of that song was, she was afraid to come out of the water. She was afraid that somebody would see.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're talking about the 1960s here, when the bikini really shot up and it became such a sort of controversy around the country. But it was in the context of 1954, which is the year I actually was born, when the Kinsey Report came out. And I spent the weekend, it was really interesting, I've spent the week actually with Dr. Judith Reisman. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she's a wonderful Messianic Jew who talks incredibly about the Kinsey Report that started in 1954, which is very fraudulent. It's been debunked from a science point of view, but it is a report that is the basis of a lot of our case law and the way that we view sexuality today. And it was shocking, the stuff that she was reporting, in terms of how this whole thing has sort of revolutionized the United States sexually and the lies that were being sold. So it comes all full circle when we're talking today about fashion, and is it just an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, or is there a bigger message behind that? And that's the point I really want to make with people today.
I think that that's interesting. I don't know if you can recall like one of the lies, or you know, just kind of the premise of that study, because I think that's fascinating that that is part of case law, and you know, it was like this standard, but yet so much of it was faulty.
Well, you really need to have her on, because she's just a powerful woman who knows so much and has done so much through the. She's spoken at Princeton and Harvard and Notre Dame, and she's been you know, banned from a lot of places because she says things that are just not popular. But one of the really shocking things is that a lot of the data that was gathered by pedophiles, people in prison. The data sampling was very fraudulent. It was not representative of the quote normal male or female person, and all of this, I was looking at the data from as a PhD, and I was like, how could any of this ever be considered, you know, great? And yet, at Indiana University, there is a Kinsey Institute where there is all kinds of sexuality training going on, and when she started telling us what was going on in that institute, I tell you what, if you've got a kid at IU, I would take a look at that and see what's going on. Some of those courses they offer sound like pornography courses.
Wow.
Scary stuff.
In the sake of, under the auspices of education, I suppose.
And this is why we're seeing so much of this in our sex education curriculum. Judith just came back from getting Croatia, of all places. She was part of the law decision to ban that sex education from Croatia. And she's also had incredible success in the Netherlands, of all places, of getting things reversed. And so now, of course, they're working on the U.S. law. But some of these things that are in our schools, I mean, parents need to be paying attention. And I would really challenge dads to be paying attention to the kinds of sexual information that elementary kids are being given and what they're being taught, and the sex education programs with young kids in our school that just have no emotional capacity to handle these things and yet are expected to be sexually active individuals. Kinsey's report was that a two-month-old baby is having sexual things happening to him or her and is sexual at 2 months, and he was monitoring certain sexual behavior. It was crazy, crazy stuff.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dr. Linda Mental joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings today. Tell us the name of the person again that you said we should have on.
It's Dr. Judith Reisman. It's R-E-I-S-M-A-N. She's wonderful. She's at Liberty Council right now. She's a visiting professor at Liberty University, and she's lecturing, and she's actually helping the lawyers figure out ways to get this Kinsey report that is the basis of a lot of, like I said, case law, to debunk that and to have people look at that as a fraudulent basis for actually our legal decisions.
Wow.
Okay, well, we'll follow up on that perhaps and try and get around. Thank you for that recommendation.
And she's a wonderful speaker, and she's done this research for years and years and years, so I would say she's one of the leading authorities on the Kinsey report and how it's radically sexualized American culture.
Okay.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment. Linda, we'll talk about your blog topic today and how women are perhaps sold a lie. Maybe we're buying into some of what that report has said and dressing accordingly. We'll find out more in just a few moments more with Dr. Linda Mental right here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Yeah, there it is. Just reference that song. It's very appropriate for what we're talking about right now, and that modesty seems to be lost in our current modern-day society. I can say firsthand, coming back from Hawaii, there were some young ladies wearing itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny bikinis. I don't know if they're yellow and polka dotted, but nonetheless.
You couldn't look that long because it was
that's
just
right.
too scary.
Yeah. I didn't want to. I mean, it's that whole thing, you know, trying to avoid the second look that they talk about for guys especially. It can be very tempting to do that, but keeping your mind centered on Christ. And we're talking today about bathing beauty or sex object. Are women sold a lie? Dr. Linda Mental is guiding our conversation on this today.
So, Linda, I have friends who say, well, it's the guy's fault if they look, because I want to wear the bikini. It's all about me. And this is part of what has happened with this sexual revolution since the 50s and 60s.
Right. Let's take a look at this research study that was sort of the basis of my blog here. It was done by a couple of researchers, interestingly, one from Princeton and one from Stanford. And I believe Princeton is one of the schools that participates in what is called Sex Week on college campuses, where the pornography industry sponsors movies for students. There are live sexual demonstrations in the classrooms of how to do certain acts. It's basically a week of porn and wild demonstration all over the campus. But anyway.
Wow, I've never heard that. I have never heard that before.
Amazing.
I have a blog on that. You need to go to my blog on Sex Week. It mostly was Yale, and there's actually an author who came out of Yale who wrote about it. And it's really quiet. I had to go on the 700 Club and talk about that. So you should look at that on my blog as well. But these two researchers, who are, by the way, women from these two universities, did a study where they looked at the MRIs. They did MRIs, or what are imaging of the brain, on a number of male students in order to image their brains when they looked at various photographs of women. So they put on several photographs, some of barely clad, you know, barely dressed women, others that were more modestly dressed. And their findings are not really a surprise, because what they found is that when the man saw the barely dressed women, it was associated with a part of the brain that has to do with objects. And this is an interesting quote, because this is what the brain does in this part. Things you manipulate with your hands. So a part of the brain that has to do with things you manipulate with your hands and objects. And so when they looked at these different men and the way they were looking at these pictures, when they saw the barely dressed women, those parts of the brain lit up. And what was also interesting in that study is when the men looked at those women who were barely dressed, they didn't remember their faces, but they did remember their bodies. When they looked at the more conservatively dressed women, they remembered their faces more so than their bodies. So it's important to note that this is a biological, neurological, whatever you want to call it, neurobiological response that men have, obviously, when they look at women this way. Now, I want to also note that men can override this part of the brain. So like Ted was talking about, you know, the not taking a second glance and distracting your thoughts and not focusing on what you're seeing. Obviously, men have the ability to do that. But I think what's interesting is from that study, what we see is that you're looking at a woman and you're seeing her as an object, and it does something very different in the brain than it does when someone is modestly dressed. So the lie that has been perpetuated in our culture is that somehow if women take control of taking off their clothes or wearing very little or sexually gyrating around a stage or whatever it is they're going to do in a movie, that somehow that empowers them, when it does nothing of the sort, because it never changes what happens in the male brain when he's looking at a person like that.
Yeah. Well,
and I think that's the important part, yeah, is that these women think, you know, and I'm looking at this, you know, cute little Vanessa Hudgens, who was in High School Musical, who's now in a movie where she's doing some pole dancing or some kind of, you know, gyrating on a pole or something. And then you look at different entertainers like Beyonce, who started singing, and now when she gets up there, it's like a, it's like a sexual experience when you're watching one of her music videos. And when you listen to these actresses and talk about taking these roles, it's all about, well, I have to grow as an actress and I have to, you know, be taken more seriously. And I'm thinking, well, according to neuroscience, you're being looked at as an object and nobody is paying attention to your face or your acting. You're just lighting up these parts of men who are could care less about your acting. And let's look at who most of the movie producers are. Mm-hmm. Are they females?
Right. Yeah. No, they're right. Guys.
No, they're men, and they mm-hmm. know exactly what they're doing. So women are being used, and they're being put on the stages and in movies and in videos and all of these places thinking that they've been empowered by doing what they want to do, when in fact it has the same effect whether they wanted to do it or not in terms of objectifying them in the mm-hmm. minds of men.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law, who was an actress in Hollywood, was happy to step away from that to start raising their family because it was that same thing. It was so hard to find a movie role or a TV role as she got older that she could keep her clothes on. And as a Christian, that was not going to happen. And I hear this still so often. You know?
Right, and it's not by accident. It's not like, oh, that's just the way it is. This is part of what has happened in America with the sexual revolution and the pornography industry, and sex sells, and it has always sold. I mean, that's since biblical days. Mm-hmm. You know, sex has been an issue in terms of when it's been taken out of the context that God intended it to be. And what is so infuriating to me is we have these feminist groups and, you know, the National Organization for Women, who never seem to comment mm-hmm. on these issues when you see them in the news. They never seem to comment when some actress is taking off her clothes and saying, well, this is what I'm going to do to, you know, advance my career. I mean, this is how Madonna made it.
Right.
This is how Lady Gaga is one of probably the most talented singers I have ever heard. I saw her Thanksgiving special where she was at a piano and she was singing, and it was just amazing. And I sat there and I prayed for her and I thought, you don't have to do all this crazy stuff, taking off your clothes, walking around, wearing meat dresses, mm-hmm. and all this crazy stuff that you do, because your talent is so phenomenal. And yet, they know that if they don't do all this sexual titillation for people, that people aren't going to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
What a sad state our culture is in when it comes to that.
They're buying into the lie. We're talking with Dr. Linda Mental here today on Faith Radio Mornings, talking about her latest blog post, Bathing Beauty or Sex Object, Are Women Being Sold a Lie? And we have links for her and many books that Dr. Linda has as well at myfaithradio.com. You know, let's get back to the comment you made in the first segment today, Linda, about me as a dad. How can I engage my daughters as they grow in just engaging the conversation that can be uncomfortable for dads? What should we do?
My husband has sat down with my teenage daughter for years and years and years and has talked to him, talked to her about this modesty pull, because we look at what the fashion is out there, and especially the fashion for little girls is just, I mean, when I go into a store and I see thong underwear for little 4 and 5 year olds, I just want, my heart just breaks, because I think this is such a crazy message. And then parents are buying those things.
Mm-hmm.
So parents need to take a stand and say, this is about modesty. Modesty is a biblical concept, but the reason it's there. And my husband has for years talked to my teenage daughter about what goes on in the mind of a male. And yes, it is her responsibility to dress modestly and to think about her body and the way she wants to be viewed. But she also has some culpability with what she's doing to the men around her. And I don't believe that it's accurate when women say, well, it's not my problem. It is your problem. It's your problem if you're seducing somebody and you know that that has an effect on them and you do nothing about that. How is that not any of your responsibility? And you won't be taken seriously. And I think that is the issue that dads need to say to their daughters, because daughters don't want to be looked at as sex objects. Daughters want to be, you know, when they meet boys, they want to be cared about and they want emotional connection and they want the guy to get to know them. And none of that is going to happen if they start off with this sort of sexualized relationship where they're dressing in a way that the guy is really focusing on one thing and not on the body. And you could even use this research and say, when you're barely clad, he doesn't remember your face. He remembers only your body.
Right.
So I think it's really important for dads to really talk to their daughters, not just moms, and explain why the Bible has that in there and not just say, this is what you need to do. And then talk about the fashion and what you can do to dress fashionably, but still be modest in some ways, because it's so important.
Yeah. And there are options for that. Definitely.
Yeah.
There are a lot of options. And I think that's the issue in these Christian schools where kids can only dress a certain way. You know, there's a lot of ways to be fashionable, especially fashion changes from time to time. Longer skirts come in and then different types of tops come in, and you just have to work with the fashion and work in a way, again, to look great and to look fashionable, but not have to do it by looking sexual. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. And I like the part that you're talking about, how the feminist idea is really about you're empowering yourself because you now are deciding to take off your clothes. But in that, what's, you know, quote, liberating, we're still held in this pigeonhole, in this kind of box of being a sex object. So it backfires no matter how you try to explain that, don't you think?
Yes, that's the lie. The lie is that that's empowering somehow, and that's the way the feminist movement has reframed it. It's something about your choice. You're the one doing it. So if you're a prostitute, you're the one deciding to have sex. Does that make this you any less of a prostitute?
Right.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter who decides. The fact is what you're doing and looking at what you're doing and the impact of what you're doing on people around you. So it's a huge lie. And Hollywood is one of the places where it's really promulgated, because you hear actresses all the time stand up and say, well, I decided to do that porn movie, or I decided to take that off. And I'm thinking, so what?
Right.
You're still being looked at as a sexual object, and you're teaching young girls that somehow that's empowering when it's not. So our youth leaders need to be addressing that in our churches, and our moms and dads need to be talking about that on a regular basis.
And also, who do our young girls use as role models? Beyonce.
Right.
They love Beyonce's music. Rihanna. They love her music.
Right, so, and Rihanna, you know, has major issues with drugs, and Beyonce.
Right.
The president and Michelle Obama have said that this is one of the role models that they have for their daughters.
Exactly.
And I just about fell over when I read that, because I thought, really? Someone whose whole career is around being bootylicious and gyrating on stage, this is a role model for your young daughters? It's totally unnecessary. The woman is beautiful and talented, and she doesn't have to do those kinds of things, except in a culture that says, yes, you do, because we want to sell and make money off of you. And how objectifying is that?
Awesome.
Such an important topic to address.
You.
We're grateful for the way you sum it up for us today, Dr. Linda. Thanks for the time, and thanks for addressing this.